Okay, today we got a really interesting chock full daf of lots of concepts that you're already familiar with, and interesting things about, I would say, Jewish philosophy. So I'm just going to, without further intro, we'll start. I also want to mention one other thing, actually, with further intro. Finally got approval on iTunes for the podcast, so I'm going to be slowly switching. Anyone who subscribed to the previous podcast, it's already got a different name. It's called 13th Cycle, and it's not going to be the podcast anymore. So if you're subscribed to that, start switching over to the new podcast subscription, and you can find it on Spotify, on Android, I'll send out subscriptions, the name, I'll send out links. I'll put it up on our Facebook page, on Hadron's Facebook page. But the links, you can find it by looking at Daf Yomi for Women Hadron. That's the name of the podcast. If you want it in Hebrew, it's Daf Yomi Lenashim Hadron. So there's two podcasts there, and you can find it. Okay, and then it'll just come to your phone automatically every day, or you can subscribe to our WhatsApp groups. If you don't have access to it, you can find it on hadron.org.il. Okay, with that, we're going to start our really interesting Daf. Okay, the first topic is going to be Kriyat Shema al Hamita. Okay, we say Kriyat Shema at night before we go to bed. We talked about in the beginning that according to Rashi, that's the real Kriyat Shema at night. That's your Chiyuv of V'Shachbacha. Most people don't view it that way. It seems to be some other tefillah. In addition to saying Shema at night, we also say Kriyat Shema when we go to sleep. What's the purpose of that? We're going to see a number of different reasons. So we're starting two lines from the bottom of Dalet Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Yosha ben Levi, Af al pi shekara adam kriyat shema bebeit haknesset, here he says it, even though you said it already in the shul, mitzvah lekrot Torah mitato, you still have to say it on your bed. It's a mitzvah. He doesn't say you have to. He doesn't say chova, obligatory. He says it's a mitzvah. Amar Rabbi Yossi, my cry, says, where do we get this from? And if we can figure out where we get it from, that might help us understand why we do it. Rigzu va'al techetau. I want to just point out, okay, this is interesting in terms of development of tefillah. People who say the whole long text of Kriyat Shema Lamita, you're going to see parts of the verses that we say. It's not just Shema, but there's a blessing there, of Hamapil. There's all sorts of verses that we say. Some of them are going to come from here. And they're going to say, this is the reason why you say it. It comes from that pasuk. And obviously then when they, as the tefillah developed, they took these verses, because they were relevant to it, and they added it into saying it alongside Kriyat Shema. It seems that at the time they were discussing this, Kriyat Shema, the way we see it, didn't exist in that way. They just probably said Shema. Okay, maybe they also said the bracha of Hamapil. It's not clear. But that bracha doesn't get discussed on this stuff. But anyway, it's in terms of development of tefillah, that's how things develop. When you see all these verses added to tefillah, often it happened later. So he says, Rigzu v'al techetau imru b'vavchem amishkavchem v'domu sela. He says, okay, what's this pasuk mean? It means Rigzu v'al techetau, okay, rile yourselves up and then you won't sin. Imru b'vavchem, say in your heart, why, how do we get from here to Shema? These are things that are supposed to be in your heart. Say these things that are supposed to be in your heart al mishkavchem, while you're lying down. Now, what does that obviously refer to? Again, it doesn't obviously refer to that, but they obviously make the connection al mishkavchem, when you lie down. V'domu sela. And what does that mean? You should be silent, meaning go to sleep. Okay, that's the idea. Amar Rav Nachman. So basically, his idea, if you focus on this, what's the concept? The concept is go to sleep saying Shema, because that will keep you from sinning, right? First of all, I think there was concern of sinning at night when it came to men and ejaculation, you know, like semen coming out and all that. I think seminal emissions, they were concerned about that maybe. And also just a way of kind of protecting yourself from sin. Go to sleep, wake up. This is what you should be thinking about when you end your day, when you begin your day. That's the idea. Think about God. That's the first concept. Amar Rav Nachman, im tamid chacham hu, ein sarich. If you're already a Talmid Chacham, now this can mean different things. If you're a Talmid Chacham, then you don't need that. You're obviously thinking about God. You don't need those reminders. That's one way of looking at it. Some people say that the issue, so Rashi says, because he's constantly going ragila, he's constantly reviewing things in his head, so therefore he doesn't need it. Also, there was a concept, it doesn't necessarily say it directly here, but there was also a concern, so maybe, first of all, he'll be less likely to sin. It's also, a lot of people think it has to do with protection, even though that's not really what it talked about here. It could be the Talmid Chacham, because he learns all the time, they felt he didn't need as much protection. Okay, we'll get into the protection theme. It didn't really yet come up. It's going to come up soon. So the first answer is, it's to keep you, your head focused on with God. Amar Abaye, and to keep you from sinning. Af Talmid Chacham Mibayel Elameim Archa Psuka Dirachami. He says, even if you're Talmid Chacham, so maybe you don't need Shema. Okay, what's Shema? Shema represents, right, our taking upon ourselves Ol Malchut Shamayim, the yoke of the command of God. But if you're already a Talmid Chacham, you don't really need that, but you should at least say the following verse, something. What should you say? Kigon, biyadcha avkidruchi, pedita uti Hashem el emet. I'm giving you my spirit as a pikadon, as basically you're taking it away. You know, they believed and that when they went to sleep, right? This is why we say Elokai Neshama in the morning. This is my neshama that you took from me and you gave it back to me. They felt that death was sleep was 1/60th of death. Okay, and when you went to bed at night, God kind of takes your neshama and gives it back to you. What was it? It was a fear of dying in their sleep. So because they were fearful of dying in their sleep, they said this verse, which was, and this is a different concept, right? One is you want to remember God. The second is there's this concern that maybe you'll die in your sleep, and therefore you want to just say, oh, I'm giving you my ruach, my spirit, and, you know, hopefully you'll return it to me. You know, you're the God of truth, meaning, you know, hopefully give it back to me. Now, remember this concept, because what does a God of truth have to do with this? Well, if you're Talmid Chacham, then you're deserving, based on truth, to wake up the next morning. Okay, that's going to get into the concept, which I'll already kind of give away where we're going today, which is we get into Tzadik Biralo, okay? Suffering of the righteous people. Amar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish, Le'olam, now we're going sidetracking, so just to remind you, two concepts so far. Kriyat Shema is to remind you of God. Second thing is that God kind of, you know, you might die in your sleep, the fear of that. Now we're going back to that pasuk, Rigzuv Alt. Oh, and by the way, Biyadcha Avki Druchi is also in the prayers of Kriyat Shema at night. Okay? Second thing. Second way of reading that pasuk about Rigzuv Alt Echtau, here's a different explanation. Amar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish, Le'olam Yargiz Adam Yetzer Tov Al Yetzer Hara. You should rile up your Yetzer Tov on your Yetzer Hara. In other words, how do you deal with when you want to do something bad? Get your Yetzer Hara going. Rigzu, wake him up. And then Al Techtau. Now they're going to read this verse as a progression of things. So if you have this inclination to do something bad, first try to talk yourself out of it. Get your Yetzer Tov. You know, you see those movies, right? The one side of the guy talking to the other side. Get your other side to kind of convince you not to do it. That's Rigzuva Al Techtau. Im Nitzcho Mutav. If that works, then awesome. V'im Lav. But if it doesn't work, Yasok B'Torah. How do we get Yasok B'Torah from that pasuk? You should go learn Torah. That's the next thing you should do. Go learn Torah. Shenemar Imru B'Vavchem. Imru B'Vavchem means learn Torah. Okay, I don't know exactly where they get from learning and speaking in your heart, but I guess it's saying a way of speaking words of Torah. So go learn Torah, and that should help you. Okay, so if you can't convince yourself otherwise, go, right, this is what you say, channel your energies into something positive. Okay? But Im Nitzcho Mutav. So if that works, great. V'im lav, well, if that doesn't work, let's try something else. Yikra Kriyat Shema. Okay, how did they get to Kriyat Shema? Shene'emar al mishkavchem. They're basically progressing in the pasuk. Rigzuv al techtau, that's the first. Get the Yetzer Tov to go over the Yetzer Ra. Then it says, Imru b'bavchem, try to learn Torah. If that doesn't work, move on to al mishkavchem. Okay, on your beds, meaning Kriyat Shema. Now, why is Kriyat Shema? If Torah doesn't work, why would Kriyat Shema work? I think this is interesting about learning. Learning doesn't always connect you directly to God. For some people, that's their way of connecting. But if that way of connecting doesn't work, because it might be a little bit more intellectual, you know, move on to Shema. Now, why is Shema unique? Shema has both aspects. Shema is both Torah, and it's also Tefillah. So it's got the double nature, and I think we're going to talk about that a lot today, about the Shema being both a Tefillah and a way of learning. So it's got this interesting combination. So go to Kriyat Shema, and that's going to be stronger if the first didn't work. You know, the first, second, third. Im Nitzcho, if that worked. Sorry, this is the third, right? This is the third. If that doesn't work, Im Nitzcho Mutav, if that worked, great. V'im Lav, if it doesn't work even to pray to God, what's left? Yizkor lo Yom HaMitash, and Emar V'Domu Sela. Domu Sela is not be silent and go to bed. Domu Sela is a reminder of death. When you'll be, you know, eventually you'll be silent. And then I was also thinking that Kriyat Shema is all about the Ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. It's choosing God out of love. And now we move to choosing God out of fear. Fear of death. So obviously the ideal is to do it out of love, but if that's not going to work for you, well, then let's go to the fear.
Also, if you're trying to convince yourself not to do something bad, the fear of being judged once you're dead has got to be some sort of preventive.
Right, okay, about the final judgment, right. I think it's more fearful for people, though, to actually die than what will happen to them after. But yeah, both of those are good concerns. Okay, so now we have this whole interesting progression about how to kind of get yourself in the right direction. The Amar, okay, this stuff, by the way, is going to give a lot of strength to those who've recently started learning, to those who've been learning for a long time, the importance of what Torah gives you in your life, okay, and specifically on a daily basis. This concept, by the way, of Shema being connected to also prayer and also learning comes up, particularly the learning element, because we usually view Shema as prayer. It connects with the learning element. We're going to see this in a number of Dapim, which is that if you don't say Berachot HaTorah in the morning, when you get to Ahava Rabba, it has the same theme, the blessing right before Shema has the same themes as the Berachot HaTorah. And then if you say Shema immediately after, because when you say Berachot HaTorah, you're supposed to learn something after. That's why we say a few psukim from the Torah and a Braita. But so if you say Ahava Rabba and then you say Shema, you're automatically Yotze, your Berachot HaTorah. So there you see that Shema also functions as learning Torah. Okay, next. Amar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Mai dichtiv ve'etna lecha et luchot ha'even, v'ha'torah v'ha'mitzvah asher katavti lahorotam. This is a pasuk in Shmot. And I gave you the luchot. This is right after Matan Torah, after they were given the Torah. I gave you the tablets of stone and the Torah and the mitzvah that I wrote to teach you, lahorotam. So what's this reference to? Okay, so if the previous section was kind of focusing on the progression from, so try to fight your Yetzer Hara, if that doesn't work, move to Torah. If that doesn't work, move to Tefillah. If that doesn't work, remember the day of death. This one kind of focuses on the centrality of Torah in its entirety, just learning, how important learning is. And it says, Luchot elu aseret hadibrot. So the Luchot, obviously, is a reference to the Ten Commandments. Torah ze mikra, that's the Torah itself, the written Torah. Hamitzvah zo mishnah, that's the oral Torah. Asher katavti, elu nevi'im uktuvim, that's a reference to the prophets and the ketuvim, what's the English translation of ketuvim? The writings, okay. Lahorotam ze gemara, what's different to Mishnah and Gemara? Remember, they didn't have Gemara in those days. It's the explanations of the Mishnah. Milameh, which is now written in the Torah, Milameh shekulam nitnu l'Moshe miSinai. Now what they're trying to say is, all of this, even though they clearly weren't all given to Moshe at Sinai, Moshe wasn't living in the time of the Gemara, he didn't have all that, but that, the basis, was given to Moshe, and again, this is a way of strengthening, you know, where you can imagine people would say, well, who's to say that you're right, and who's to say that you're right, and we don't know, is it really, you know, Moshe never said that, and it's trying to say, all of Torah Shabbat Peh, all of the oral Torah, everything that's passed down really dates back to Moshe. And it's the foundation of everything. Okay, again, good strength for why we should learn. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol, right, you think in the beginning, it's interesting, they end Shas with Kol HaShoneh HaLachot B'chol Yom Uvtach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba, right? If you learn every day, that's what gives you Olam Haba. And it starts with the importance and the centrality of learning. Okay, even though the previous one seemed to say, well, it's earlier, right? You know, it's Tefillah is even more important, but it's still, this one is really saying the importance is all about learning. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay, we're back to Kriyat Shema now. So we had, again, our two reasons for Kriyat Shema, so that you don't sin, right? Remind yourself when you go to bed. And we said, because death, right? Because sleep is 1/60th of death, and there's this concern that you might die when you go to sleep. Now we're going to have another reason. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, kol hakorei kriyat shema al mitato, ki'ilu ochez cherev shel shtei piyot biyado. It's as if he's holding a double-edged sword. Why do you need a double-edged sword when you go to bed? Right? You know those people who sleep with a baseball bat next to their beds, right? Just in case a robber comes. In those days, particularly, they didn't have alarm systems, they didn't have anything, it was pitch black out. It was scary if someone came to rob you, you know, and they always talk about these listim, and it was very scary at nighttime. They were scared of all the people walking, you know, that could attack. So saying Shema is kind of your baseball bat. It's your protection. How do we get from Shema to a double-edged sword? Shneamar romimot el begronam v'cherev pipiot biadam. Okay, how do we get from this pasuk? So right, this is romimot el, is the praisings of God is in your throat. V'cher, and you have double-edged swords in your hand. So my mashma, how do we get from that verse to Kriyat Shema? Amar Sutra, Beitema Ravashi, Meresha Dinyana, from the beginning, Dichtiv, Ya'alzu, meaning the pasuk before that, Ya'alzu Chasidim Bechavod, Yiranenu Al Mishkavotam. It says, the Chasidim should rejoice in your Kavod, and they will sing on their Mishkavotam, while they're on their beds. Again, what do we say in our beds? Shema. Uchtiv Batre, and then it says, Romimot El Vigronam, Becher Pipiopi Adam, so it's an obvious reference to Shema. Again, obvious to them, right? Not so sure if it was obvious from the pshat, but you can get there. So, third answer is fear of being dangerous lurkings in the night. Ba'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, kola kolei kriyat shema mitato, mizikin bedelin hemenu. Fourth danger, not physical dangers, but metaphysical dangers. The evil spirits, or as we talked about the other day, the inner fears of people, right? We all know that when we go to sleep, our worst anxieties come up, right? We can't sleep at night because things are haunting us. So that's also, so again, either in a, you've explained it in a way that there really were evil spirits lurking, or the evil spirits, meaning your own thoughts that could really keep you from sleeping. So if you do this, you say Kriyat Shema, you'll avoid those. Shenemar, ubnei reshef, Yagbihu uf. Okay, what does this mean? It means the b'nei resha, for the sparks, will go away from you. Vein uf ela Torah. Now, the way they translate this is, instead of it flying, is that they'll fly away from you. It means that the Torah itself is the uf. Okay, how do we get from that? Shneamar, as the verse says, Hata'if einecha bo ve'einenu. Okay, which means, if you don't learn Torah, then it will leave you. Okay, meaning, right, you won't remember anything if you don't really spend your time on it. Vein reshef, how do we get from sparks to evil spirits? Eim reshef ele mizikin, how do we know that? Shneemar meze ra'av elechome reshef ukitvei meriri, ketev meriri. These are the psukim at the end of Devarim with the curses. What's going to happen to you, the bad things that are going to happen to you. And one of those things, right, that you're going to, there's going to be famine, and lechume reshef, and they understand lechume reshef now to understand that that's evil spirits. Okay, so therefore we get back to our pasuk, ubnei reshef, okay, the evil spirits will get to the people, yagbi uf, meaning the Torah itself will help you avoid the evil spirits. And that's what they say is Kriyat Shema. Again, they view Kriyat Shema as Torah. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So we have four reasons, okay? I'm not going to repeat the first two. I repeat them enough. The second two are fear of people attacking. The fourth is fear of evil spirits, which, again, could be your own inner thoughts or external evil spirits roaming around. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Kol osek b'Torah yisurim b'deilim hemenu. Not only do you get rid of evil spirits, you also won't suffer. If you learn Torah, you won't suffer. Shneamar, he learns it, the pasuk, differently. Ubnei reshef yagbiu uf, ve'ein uf ela Torah. Shneamar, te'ife nechabo, ve'einenu, ve'ein reshef. This time he says, so the Torah is the exact same drasha, that uf refers to Torah. But what's reshef? Reshef is not evil spirits. It's yisurin, suffering. Shneamar, and he quotes the exact same pasuk. He just says, you misunderstood that pasuk. It's not about evil spirits. It's about suffering. Mizei ra'av ul'chumei reshef. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan, ha'filu tinokot shel beit rabban yodin oto. Even the little kids in school know what you just said. Shneamar, how do we know that? In other words, I think what he's saying is, take a much simpler pasuk. Why do you take a pasuk that's so hard to understand? It says, "Vayomer im shamoa tishma lekol Hashem Elokecha, vayashar be'enav taaseh, vaazanta lemitzvotav, v'shamarta kol chukav." Right? If you listen to the words of God, it says pasuk in Shmot, then, and you go in His ways, and you listen to His mitzvot, then kol amachala asher samti b'Mitzrayim lo asim alecha, ki ani Hashem rofecha. All the bad things that happened in Mitzrayim won't, right? The things I did to the Egyptians won't happen to you. A clear reward and punishment, right? That you will be rewarded for doing good deeds. Ela, kol she'efshar lo la'asok b'Torah ve'eino osek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi alav yisurim mechoharim ve'ochrin oto. Okay, but he says, one who can learn Torah and doesn't, okay, then God will bring upon him terrible, terrible things. How do we know this? Shene'emar, ne'elamti dumia, that means I stood in silence, hecheshiti mituv, uche'evi ne'ekar. Okay, I was silent from good, and my KV, my pain, is very, ne'ekar, is very strong. Okay, so this is, if you were silent from, you were silent and hechasheti mituv, you didn't deal with tuv, so what's tuv? Ein tuv ela Torah, right? You could have thought tuv is good deeds, right? But what do they, how do they translate tuv, right? We're in the Gemara, they're trying to stress how important it is to learn. So they say tuv is Torah. How do we know that? Famous pasuk, Shneamar, we say it in our davening all the time, ki lekach tov natati lachem torati al ta'azovu. I gave you my good, right? My portion of good, don't leave my Torah. So basically saying good is Torah, and therefore that's what you're going to get punished for if you leave the Torah. Okay, we're still in Tzadik v'Tovlo and Rasha v'Ralo. Okay, we haven't yet gotten to Tzadik v'Ralo. I'm a Rabbi Zera, v'item Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. The way God relates is not the way a regular earthly king relates. When you sell something to someone, this is a little different than our world, I think. Why do people sell things in those days? For the most part, they need the money. They didn't want to part with their items, but they had to because they had no choice. So when you sell, your house, you're very sad. You had to sell your house. You had no choice. So usually you sell, you're sad, but the person who buys is very happy because they got something new. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino ken. Natan lehem Torah l'Yisrael v'samach. Okay, v'samach, he gave the Torah to us as a gift, right? He gave it to us, meaning it kind of left him, right? It's interesting, the image. Didn't really, and that's why. And he was happy, sh'ne'amar, ki lekach tov natati lachem, torati al ta'azovu. Okay, that's a... That verse is saying God was happy with the fact that he gave us the Torah. Amar Rava v'item Rav Chista. Okay, here we go. We get into what happens when you start suffering and how do you relate to it and what if, it, is it an indicator that you did something bad? Is it not an indicator? So, here it goes. Im ro'e adam shisurim ba'im alav, if you see that you start suffering, yifashvesh b'masav, go try to look, do some soul searching. What's going on here? Shneamar nechapsa drachenu v'nachkora. Right, we should check our ways and check them out. V'nashuva ad Hashem. Right, and then we should return to God. Pishpesh v'lo matza. Okay, so similar to how we started. If you try doing this and it doesn't work, right? So you do some soul searching and you really don't find anything that you did wrong. Yitzle b'bitul Torah. Assume that it just means you didn't. Right, not that you didn't learn Torah at all, but you, there were times where you could have learned Torah and you didn't. Shneamar. Ashrei hagever asher tiyasrenu, yeah, they're going to basically connect yisurim, suffering, with a verse about learning, Torah. So, happy is the person, it's from Tehilim, asher tiyasrenu, yeah, that God causes suffering to him. Umitoratcha telamdenu. So they basically say, this teaches you, oh, you should go learn Torah, because you must have missed out on learning Torah, and that's why you're suffering. Ve'im tala v'lo matza. So if he tried doing that, and he realized, you know, that didn't work. Let's say the person went and started learning Torah seriously, or has been learning for a very long time, doesn't realize that's not helping. They must be suffering out of love. God is making you suffer because He loves you. God is the most right. We know God deals with tzaddikim kechuta se'ara, right, like a hair, meaning any little thing they do, right, they might get punished for. Dafka, it means that God is closer to those He loves, and therefore sometimes they suffer the most. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Huna, Kol Shachadosh Baruch Hu Chafetz Bo Midako Biyisurin. Anyone that God really loves, He makes them suffer with suffering. Shneamar, Vashem Chafetz Diko Hecheli. Okay, those who God loves, who beseeches, those people will end up getting sick. Yachol, right, this is obviously very difficult concept that we, you know, many, many people have discussed the significance of this and how this works. So we're going to keep going on this sugya because it's going to relate to it in many different ways. Yachol avilu lo kibla me'ahava. So now Hashem Chafetz, they understand as God loves the people who He makes suffer, okay? And almost because He makes them suffer, there's more love between God and that person. So now they say, what if you take this person, God makes them suffer, and then the person doesn't really accept the sufferings with love, okay? Right? There's two ways you can accept it. You could say, okay, I accept it. I understand. God is making me suffer, and I can view that as I'm connected with God. But if they take it the other way and don't take it out of a sign of love, would we still say Hashem Chafetz? God wants to be with that person? So, yachol afilu lo kibla me'ahava, what if he didn't accept them out of love? Tamud lomar, im tasim asham nafsho. Ma'asham ladat, af yisurin ladat. Okay, if God, im tasim asham nafsho means if he realizes that he was guilty in some way, right? The assumption is you could be a tzaddik, but you must have done some small thing wrong. So if you accept it, then God will view you in a high way. But if you don't accept it, right, it sounds a lot like Eov. And the whole book of Eov is all about this. If you don't accept them lovingly from God, then you're not going to be on that high level with God. So therefore, the Yisurim have to be ladat. Just like, im tasim asham nafsho, if you pay attention to the fact that you sinned, then, right, that's the same thing here. If you take your Yisurim with knowledge, then im kibul, okay? And then they say, so if you don't accept them, then it means you're not going to be with God, or God won't be, you know, you won't be on his top list. In our lashon, ve'im kibla maschago. If you do accept them, what's your reward? Your ezera ya'arich yamim. Again, this is nobody really knows the answer to this question. But again, they're trying to encourage people. So, what do they tell them? What are things that are most important to people? You'll have children and you'll live long days. Ve'lod ella. And additionally, one third thing, ella shetalmudomet kayem biyado. If you learn, your learning will stay with you. We all know, particularly in Daf Yomi, you might learn things and they don't always stick with you and you forget things, right? The more you're with God and you accept the Yisurim Ba'ahava, one of the rewards is that you'll remember the things you learn better. And you'll be mitzkayem, it'll be come to fruition. Shene'emar v'chafetz Hashem biyado yitzlach. Okay, those who God, right, those who are chafetz Hashem, which we connected with the other verse about the suffering, yitzlach will be successful. And then what's success? So they define success by what they, you know, in their world, what they viewed as success. Plihi b'Rabbi Yaakov b'Idi b'Rabbi Acha b'Chanina. You can see, by the way, that things that they thought are important are also things that people think are important nowadays, right? Children, long life, right? Those are very important. And knowledge, and be able to maintain your knowledge. okay. Now, so there's a machlokah between Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi and Rabbi Acha bar Chananya. Chan amar Eloheinu Yisurim shel Ahava. What? How do you know when you suffer? Okay, here again, there's trying to get down to the bottom of it. How can you tell when you're suffering that it's these Yisurim of Ahava? What type of suffering?
Yeah, okay. When is it punishment?
Right.
When is it
exactly. Punishment? So how do you know? So first of all, you don't really know, and that's why they say the first step is look internally. Don't assume right away. If you can't really find anything, you've done your best and you're still suffering, then accept it as Yisurim shel Ahava. But here they're giving a different sign. Kol she'ein behem bitul Torah. If you're sick, but you can still learn Torah, well then, that's Yisurim shel Ahava. In other words, the assumption is God would make someone so special suffer to the extent that they can't even learn Torah. That's one explanation. Shenemar, Ashrei Hagever, Asher Tiyaslenu, Ya'ami Torah, Tatelamdenu. They understand this verse differently. But he can still learn. Okay? So those who suffer but can still learn, that's it. Chanamar, Eluhen Yisurim shel Ahava, kol she'ein behem bitul Tefillah. Here we see again those two concepts. Is it tefillah? Is it Torah? Right? This goes back to what I talked about at the Siyum, about these are two different ways of connecting to God. Is one more significant than the other? Right? That's a little bit of the debate here. And I think in the end, there's no real answer. It's about who connects. Some people connect better to tefillah. Some people connect better to Torah. And obviously, we need a combination of the two. So he says, it's as long as you can still pray. Shene'emar, Baruch Elohim asher lo yisir tefillah tova chesdo mi'iti. Right? Blessed is God who didn't take away tefillah and chesed from me. Amar lehu Rabbi Ada bered Rabbi Chia bar Abba, hachi amar Rabbi Chia bar Abba amar Rabbi Yochanan. He has a third opinion. Elu ve'elu yisurim shel ahava. Even if you can't learn, even if you can't pray, you can still view those as yisurim of ahava. Shenema ki et asher yohav Hashem yochiach. Period. Even those he loves, he rebukes. Okay, and then ela matamud lomar. So what do you do with him? Your Torah tatchelam denu, al tekre tchelam denu, ela tchelam denu. Davar zeh mitoratcha. This is found in your Torah, meaning this concept can be found in the Torah, not that you should then learn, right, that you can still learn. No, it's found in the Torah. Kal v'chomer m'shein v'ayin. We can learn this out from a kal v'chomer from shein and ayin. Ma shein v'ayin, shein v'chame v'rav shel adam, eved yotzei b'hen l'cherut. This is very interesting. There's a halacha that if you hit your slave, they had slaves in those days that kind of lived in their house, and they were owned by the master. So now, if you hit them and knock out a tooth or knock out an eye, they go free. They buy their freedom through suffering. So they say, just like they buy their freedom, Yisurin Shem Emarkim Kol Gufo Shel Adam, if your whole body suffers, right? If they're even just a tooth, you gain your freedom. Here also, they clearly cleanse you from sin. Alacha Kama B'Kama. V'hayinu de Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Tamar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, ne'emar brit b'melach, v'ne'emar brit b'yisurin. It says, al kok. Right, there's brit, it talks about a brit with salt, and it talks about a brit with suffering. Ne'emar brit b'melach, dichtiv lo tashmit melach brit. Okay, this is in the korbanot. You have to always have salt on your korbanot, and he uses the word brit. V'ne'emar brit b'yisurin, dichtiv ele divrei habrit. When it talked in Devarim with all the curses in Parshat Ki Tavo, it said, all these things will come upon you. It also used the word brit. Ma brit hamor b'melach. Melech memateket et habasar. What does the salt do? It sweetens, doesn't exactly sweeten, but it enhances the meat. Af brit hamor b'yisurin, yisurin memarkim kol avonotav shel adam. There's this positive element to the suffering, how it cleanses you from your sins. And that's the concept, that if you're closer to God, he's going to give you more of an opportunity to cleanse you from your sins. Okay, obviously this doesn't resolve all our problems about Tzadik Baralo. This is just, right, and in the Daf Yomi class, we're, you know, just moving on. But it's a lot of the concepts are there. And we're going to continue. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, with this concept still. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai omer, Shalosh matanot tovot natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael, v'kulan lo nitnan ela al yidei Yisurin. Right, this is no pain, no gain. Okay, three great gifts we got from God. Elohim, Torah, ve'eretz Yisrael, v'olam haba. Okay, Torah, Israel, and the world to come. Torah minayin, shenemar ashrei ha-gever, asher tiyasrenuya, mitoratcha tolamdenu. That's the pasuk we saw. Yisurin is connected with Torah. Eretz Yisrael dechtiv ki kasher yaser ish et bino, Hashem elokecha miyasrecha. They compare. God, right, just like a parent punishes his child, God punishes us. And then it says, ki Hashem elokecha mibiyacha el eretz tova. And right after that it says, God is bringing us to the land, so therefore there's connection between suffering and coming into the land, right? We know that, right? You could take recent modern history, not easy living here, not easy coming back to the land, a lot of struggles. Ha'olam haba, okay, this we know less about, dichtiv ki ner mitzvah v'torah, or v'derech chayim tochachot musav. Ner mitzvah v'torah, or they view as a reference to the world to come, okay, the mitzvah will be a ner, the Torah will be the light, and derech chayim tochachot musar, musar from the Lashon of Yisurim. Tana kameh de Rabbi Yochanan. So a Tana brought the following bright in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan's an Amora, and there were people in those days who brought things that were mentioned in the previous generation of the Mishnah time period. Kol ha'osek b'Torah b'gilu chasadim v'koveret banav. Now we get into the difficult topic of people who bury their children, okay, people who lose their children. So we brought in front of Rabbi Yochanan, anyone who's osek b'Torah, number one, they do chesed, which we didn't mention before. We mentioned, right, al shloshad v'rim ha'olam omeh, Torah tefillah g'milu chasadim. That wasn't mentioned, now it's mentioned. Tefillah is not here. Okay, so if you learn Torah and you do chesed, and you bury your children, those are all things that mochalin lo hakol avonot have. I don't think they mean all three. I think they mean, you know, these are things that help erase your sins. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan, bishlama Torah gmilu chesedim. I understand where you get from Torah and gmilu chesed. Dichtiv bechesed ve'emet yichupar avon. And what's chesed and emet? Chesed zog gmilu chesedim shenemar rodef tzedakah v'chesed yimtza chayim. Okay, so if you chase after tzedakah and chesed, you'll find chayim tzedakah v'kavod. Emet zo Torah shenemar emet kenei va'al timkor. Acquire truth and don't sell it. Right, that's Torah. So I understand those two because they're both connected with this concept of chesed ve'emet yichupar avon. It will wipe out your iniquity. It says in the verse of Mishle. Ela koveret banav minayin. Where do you get that if you bury your children, that's going to wipe out your sins? Tana le'ahu saba mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So an older person said in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Atya avon avon. They learn it. It said yechupar avon in that pasuk. And there's another verse that relates to burying your children with the word avon. K'tiv hacha b'chesed v'emet yechupar avon. That's the first verse. U'k'tiv hatam u'mishalem avon avot el chek b'nehem. Right? Their sins will be paid by their children. Okay, which means basically, right, very painful sentence, right, that children will die because of the sins of their fathers. But notice that they're saying here that avon is the same word used. So because it says that's their avon, and it says later, or in a different verse, yichupar avon, therefore they say that means that your sins will be wiped out by this act. So now comes Rabbi Yochanan, he says, nigaim ubanim einam yisurim shel ahava. Now, I shouldn't really spoil this, okay? But, okay, right. So first of all, right. So the first thing, I'm going to spoil later what's coming because I want you to know this while we're reading it. So we started off with Rabbi Yochanan saying, right, this person brought before Rabbi Yochanan the three things, and he wasn't so convinced by the Koveret Banav, right? He asked about that. Okay, now again, he's saying, I don't view bearing your children as a love, as an act of love from God. Now, we're going to see soon that Rabbi Yochanan lost 10 children. Okay, so you have to understand that he's coming at this, right? And this is a perfect example of when you suffer and you comes from real life experience, you can't compare that to non-real life experience, okay? So his viewpoint is affected, right? This is all about what you think is affected by what your life experience is. So he says, Niga'im u'banim, okay, Niga'im are leprosy, and sons are not Yisurim u'bahava. So now the Gemara questions him. Nigaim lo, right? He obviously didn't view it as that God loved him, and because of that, he killed his children. V'ha'atanya, kol mi sheyesh bo, echad me'arba'a marot nigaim halalu, eino ela mizbeach kapara. So first we're going to deal with the nigaim. Doesn't it say, though, anyone who has one of the four leprous marks it's basically a mizbeach kapara. It's an altar of atonement for him, meaning it provides him with atonement, meaning that's synonymous with Yisurim of Ahava, because what is Yisurim of Ahava if not provides you with atonement? So he says, no, Mizbech, okay, we're going to have three answers. The first one's different than the other two. Mizbech kapara havu, Yisurim shalava lo havu. There's two different things. Mizbech kapara means you actually did a sin. Yisurim of Ahava doesn't even necessarily mean you did a sin, okay, or did a sin that was deserving of that. So there's two different things. Nigaim maybe can provide you with atonement, but they're not viewed as Yisurim that God brings to those he loves. That's one answer. Ibait Ema, the other two answers assume the Mizbeach Kapara and Yisurim of Ahava are synonymous. They are both the same thing. And then, Halan Halahu. But there's a difference if you live in Babel, in Babylon, or if you live in Israel. What's the difference? Well, if you live in Israel, they were very makpid on tuma. They were very careful about tuma and tara, impurities. If you're a leprous, you have leprosy, you're out. You're totally on the outs. That's much more difficult than if you're living in Babel. Well, then you're just living among other people. The suffering is not as great. So therefore, when we say it provides you with atonement, that's in Israel where it's really severe, the leprosy. You know, the way they deal with it and your excommunication from the community. But in Babel, where it wasn't so bad, so that's not viewed as Yisurim of Ahava. And then it's just saying it's like on a lower level. It's not such a serious thing. V'ibayit ema, habatsina, habafarhesia. It depends where your marks are. It's much more humiliating when your marks are on a noticeable part of your body. And if they're, so they say if it's bitsin, if it's in the concealed part of your body, this actually I struggle to understand. They say if it's bitsina, if it's under your clothes, then that's viewed as atonement, and if it's more public, then it's not. Although I'm not really sure why it would be in that direction. I would have thought the more severe is atonement. Okay? The view is the opposite, that the worse it is, you're already humiliated just by walking out in the street. That wouldn't be Yisurim of Ahava. Okay? God wouldn't do that to you if he really loved you. Okay. Ubanim lo. So now they say, what about banim? That's not Yisurim of Ahava. So hechidami. What do we mean by banim? So first of all, I assumed banim meant that your sons die. Now they're going to suggest maybe not. Ilema dehavaluva meitu. If you say that they died, v'hama Rabbi Yochanan din garma de asirai bir. He would walk around. Okay, this is Rabbi Yochanan. He was known to walk around with the bone of his tenth son that died, and he would tell people, "This is the bone of my tenth son." Now, why did he do this? Right. So it sounds a little weird. So some people explain, first of all, they say, how could he walk around with a bone? Isn't it mitame? And walk around with tuma? But some people say it was a tooth from when he was alive, which we just learned recently about that's not mitame. Anyway, it seems that he would walk around to show his faith in God. That even though, right, and this is when you see leaders who really suffered, right, you can learn lessons from them. Like they suffered and yet they're still believing in God and they're still, right, you think about Rabbi Yochanan, if you didn't know the story, you'd be surprised, right? He really went through so much suffering and yet was still so amazingly strong. So he would walk around and show that as a mark of, look, don't tell me your life is tough and you want to leave God. Look at me. Okay? Very powerful statement. Elahad lohavu leklal v'hadahavu levimetu. He says there's a difference between when we said before that it's not Yisurim of Ahava, that's people who can't have children, and these are people who had and died, right? This is a good one could definitely debate this issue about what's more difficult, right? Yeah, exactly. Better to, right, all those things. Okay, again, in the matter of time, in the interest of time, we're not going to harp on this, but it's clearly the Gemara is siding on one saying, you know, it's much harder to have children that die than not to have had children at all, but not clear that that's definitely true. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Chalish. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba got sick. Al gabei Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan went to visit him. Amarle, chavivin alecha yisurin. He said, are you enjoying this suffering? Now, right, it seems a little weird, but you could say, right, you could view it as, well, God is close to me if he's making me suffer. Amarle lo. Lo hein velo scharan. I'm not enjoying my suffering and not the reward I'm going to get from them. Amarle, here's a fascinating line. Hav le yadcha, give me your hand. Yahiv le yadei v'ukma. He gave him his hand and he got up and he was healed. See, to me, this immediately said, right, you go to someone who's sick and suffering and you don't know what to do, right? The only thing you could do is give them a hug, right? It's like saying anything is not going to help them. It's just, you know, that's what you need to do. Rabbi Yochanan chalash. So now Rabbi Yochanan himself got sick. Al gabei Rabbi Chanina. Amar le, chavivin alecha yisurin. Amar le. So again, this is the flip now. He was in the position of being in the sick in bed. So Rabbi Chanina says to him, are you enjoying your suffering? Amar le, right? And he says, Amar le, lo hein velo scharan. No, not at all. Amar le, hav li yadcha, give me your hand. Yad le yadei v'ukma. Okay? Amai lukim Rabbi. Okay, so now they ask a good question. If Rabbi Yochanan, okay, this is great, right? This is, right, you can't give yourself a hug, right? Say, if Rabbi Yochanan had the power to make someone else get sick, why get someone else get better, why couldn't he help himself? Amai lukim Rabbi Yochanan lenafshe. He could have made himself get better. Amre, and here's an important line, Ein chavush matir atzmo mibeit hasurin. Okay, this line could mean a million different things, right? This line could mean, right, you can't get yourself out of jail, right? So either, there's all different ways you could understand this. First of all, some people are much better at helping others than they are at helping themselves. I think you can get that from here, right? That it's always easier, not that you couldn't do it, but it's much easier to do things for other people, for some people, than to do them for themselves, right? People will go out to bat for all sorts of people, but for their own family, sometimes less so. It's more difficult. Or, you know, it's just some things, you can't give yourself a hug. A hug doesn't mean anything if you hug yourself. You need someone else, and that's the interaction between people. Okay, Rabbi Elazar, it should be chalash. Rabbi Elazar got sick. Al gabei Rabbi Yochanan, chazed hava kagane bebayit afel. He saw this house is very dark, right? Sometimes you go into a sick person's room and it's depressing. So what did he do? Gal ye ledare, he revealed his arm. V'nafal nehora, and nafal nehora, he, like, all of a sudden the room lit up. And as he went to Rabbi Elazar and revealed his arm, I guess it was covered with clothing, and the whole room lit up. So this miraculous thing. Chazi dehava kabache Rabbi Elazar. He saw that Rabbi Elazar was crying. Amar le, amai kabachit. Now he says, what are you so upset about? Imishum Torah de lo afshet. If it's because you didn't learn enough Torah, shaninu. This is a great line. Achanam arbeh v'achanam avi hamamit. This is great for Dafyomi. Ubevad shechaben li bol ha-shamayim. You can learn a lot, you can learn a little. It's just about learning. Just learn, right? It doesn't matter how much you learn. Rabbi Elazar was a huge Talmid Chacham. It's not like he didn't learn. Saying, you could always say you could have learned more, but be happy with where you're at. Imishu Mizone, if you're saying, well, I don't have money, you know, maybe he didn't have money to give his children, or, you know, just feeling bad about his life in general, that he never made enough money. Lo kol adam zocheh l'shtei shulchanot. Not everybody gets, you know, to be wealthy. Be'imishum b'nei, if you say because of sons, here he pulls out his bone, din d'gar m'dasirai bir, right, look at me, I'm not crying, and, you know, I lost 10 sons. Amarle, so he answers him, l'hai shufra debali ba'afar kabachina. I'm looking at you, Rabbi Yochanan was known to be beautiful, it comes up with the Rish Lakish story, when Rish Lakish sees his reflection, and he says, I'm thinking about death in general and how there's beautiful things like you that are going to ultimately die, and about just the fact that life is you know, right, is leaves, and how the sadness about that. Sorry, very depressing. Daf, Amarle, al dav vaday kabachit. He says, yeah, for that, you really should cry, ubachu travayu. And they both start crying. Adahachi bahachi. In the meanwhile, Amarle, chavivina lecha yisurin. Here comes the end of the story, right? He says the same line. Are you enjoying your suffering? Amarle, lohem velo scharan. I'm not. Amarle, hav li yadcha, yav li yade v'ukma. Okay, he gave him his hand, and he revived him. Rapuna tkifalu arba mead dani dechamra. He had 400
barrels of wine
that went bad. Okay, so this is a different kind of suffering. We went from physical suffering now to financial suffering. Al gabei Rav Yehuda achua de Rav Sala chasida. Okay, it was a chasid. Rabbanan V'rabanan, v'amrei la, Rav Ada bar Ava. Okay, a matter of who said it, v'rabanan, and the rabbis, v'amrule, la'ayim mar b'mile. They said to him, go check out. Okay, this is Rav Huna. Also, big talmid chacham. They said, go look into your masim. This sounds like Eov's friends, right? You must have done something wrong. Although we're going to see from the end of the story, he really did do something wrong, and probably they knew he did this. It was known, and because of that, they said, go look into your masim. Amar lu, mi chashid shina be'enaycha, what? You're suspect of me? Amule, mi chashid, who's suspect? Kadosh Baruch Hu, da'avi dina below dina. Mi chashid Kadosh Baruch Hu, da'avi dina below dina. They said to him, he says, you're suspect of me? They said, yeah, because we know God doesn't punish unless there's reason for punishment. This is the opposite of what we saw before. But again, it could be they're saying it because they know something. Amar lehu, mi kaman deshmial ay milta. Have you heard anything bad about me? Like, he starts to realize there must be something he doesn't realize that they do. Lema amrule, hachi shmialan delo yav mar shabisha la rise. We heard that you weren't giving your portion to the sharecropper. You have a sharecropper. They're supposed to get a portion of the stuff they reap. You didn't give him any. Amar lehu, mika shavik limidi mine. Haka ganiv le kule. I didn't give him because he was stealing all the while, so I wasn't going to give him what he was deserving of. Amru le, they said to him, hainu damriyinche, batar ganva ganuv. Okay, betama taim. They said, if you steal from a thief, you are tasting a taste of theft also. In other words, just because he stole from you doesn't allow you to steal from him. Great line. And they said, you know, you've now tasted a taste of theft. Amalehu kabilna alai diavina le. I'm now going to give him from here on in. It's actually fascinating. You would think he would say, I'm going to give him back pay him, but he doesn't say that. He said, from now on in, I'm going to give him. Ikada amre. Some people say, now there's a debate about how this story ends. Hadar chala vihu chamra. The vinegar turned back into wine, okay, because he did this. The price of vinegar went up, and he was able to sell his vinegar for the same price he could have sold his wine for. Okay, we'll stop here. We didn't finish to the end, but we'll stop here for today. We'll try to catch up tomorrow.